the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Ira, roll call, please.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Present.
Mrs. Fenn.
Present.
Mr. Golub.
Present.
Mr. Hershberger.
Here.
Mr. Shafrath.
Present.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve the regular meeting agenda?
So moved.
Second.
First by Fenn, second by Jay.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes. Moving to item D, I need a motion to approve the minutes from the December 13th regular board meeting.
So moved.
Second.
First, Fenn. Second, Jay.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes. Okay, now we'll move into our student recognition, the staff recognition portion of the meeting. Todd?
Okay, we will go in reverse order tonight, starting with the junior, senior high school. I believe Mr. Marshall is here. He was supposed to be. Oh, okie doke, then I get the winning dog. All right, seventh grade, students of the month, Maddie Underwood and Mark Samsa. Eighth grade, students of the month, Olivia Locke and Andrew Yost. Ninth grade, well, I may need help on this one. Ryan? Jamie? Yes. Eisenberg? Yes. And Wyatt McLean. Sophomores, Jordan Salazar and Brandon Donnelly. Juniors, Jacqueline Junzillo. Am I close? Junzillo and Kyle Hart. And our seniors, Kelsey Golick and Joseph Eastwood. Thank you very much for our students of the month from the junior, senior high school. CIS, please, there is a mic up front.
Here, which is very exciting. I think this is the first time that any of my students of the month have been here. <I know. laughs> Our students of the month are students who show kindness, they work hard daily, and they are positive role models at school. So in third grade, we have Drew Morrison and Mason Broad. In fourth grade, we have Peyton Shafrath and Caleb Sin. In fifth grade, we have Emma Kirkhart and Landon Winans. And in sixth grade, Emmy Donnelly, which her brother was 10th grade, and Caden Croft.
Thank you, Mrs. Ollinger. Mrs. Archer is filling in for Mrs. Hughes, who's watching her son play a basketball game tonight. So she will handle Hazel Harvey, student of the month.
These students were selected by their teachers for working hard in class, for showing kindness to their peers, giving their best effort to be respectful and responsible, and for overall good character. Congratulations to the following students of the month. Kindergarten was Parker Sullivan, Sebastian Ramey, Jackson Clark, and Phaedra Fisher. In first grade, we had Devin Dannemiller, Morgan Van Nostrand, Audrey Rosetta, Serenity Smith, and Riker Fosnot. And in second grade was Leland Irvin, Jasmine Lizarraga, Jet Johnson, and Kaylee Soltis.
Thank you. Now, our needle movers, and I take it extremely seriously, and not that we argue, but we do debate when we pick our needle movers. We're looking for that person that takes us to a next level. And so I want to use the example for our students in the audience. At 211 degrees, water is extremely hot. Don't touch it. But it doesn't boil until it gets to 212. At 212, it boils. When water boils, it creates steam. When it creates steam, you can power an engine, whether it's an engine from Robert Fulton that took a boat all the way down the Mississippi or a train from Maine to California. Steam does that. It's that 1 degree difference, that plus one, that takes us from 211 to 212 that makes it all possible. So our needle mover tonight, sometimes we bring him here under false pretenses, but I'd like to congratulate Terry Archer for being our needle mover. Explain a little bit what Terry has done. Terry has gone above and beyond to find ways to support and provide for her students, classroom, colleagues, our school, and our Hazel Harvey families. She is very organized and driven to give her best each and every day. She often She often gives her own time to prepare for and get to know her students and their families through after-school and summer activities. This past summer, Mrs. Archer got to know incoming kindergarten students by introducing herself and helping at the Lions Club-sponsored event Safety Village, held at Hazel Harvey over the summer. Several years ago, Mrs. Archer initiated creating a new committee at Hazel Harvey called the Sunshine Committee. This is a collaborative and instrumental in planning all after-school events for our Hazel Harvey students and their families. These after-school events have included Reading Under the Lights, Family Game Night, Family STEM Night, Family Literacy Night, and Family Movie Night. Mrs. Archer has taken a leadership role in our building on sharing new information or learning she has obtained from professional development opportunities that she participates with other staff. Those include math training, PBIS, and technology. Using technology, Mrs. Archer has developed new instructional resources to assist in student learning to be both utilized when in the classroom or having online learning remotely. All of these resources have been shared with grade-level colleagues, title tutors, and intervention staff. Over the summer, Mrs. Archer created a new common assessment for her grade-level team to align state standards and updated curriculum maps for reading and math, to be used routinely throughout the school year and progress monitoring of student learning. The entire Hazel Harvey staff is grateful to have Mrs. Archer as part of their team and her driven leadership. Thank you very much. I won't fall on purpose. Oh, wait a minute. Thank you. Just in case you didn't get all that. I have one other thing that's not on the agenda. We had a unique day today in Chippewa Local Schools. We did not have enough bus drivers to fill all our buses to cover all of our routes. So, new coordinator, Robin Coffey, hopefully she gets hired here tonight, started calling me at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, gee, many Christmas, this is the first week, kid. 5 o'clock in the morning to tell us we were short bus drivers. We were combining routes. She was calling people and friends that she knew from other districts for anybody to help her out. True problem solver. We ended up bringing in a person that's on the agenda tonight to drive the bus, certified driver of the bus, for another district as she subs for to come help us out. Got it all taken care of. Got every kid to school. We started a communication plan. I'd like to thank Jody and Jamie for getting that information out. Chief, for getting it on the website. We got it out as fast as we can. We communicated with families through Facebook, website, school messenger text, school messenger phone call, and final forms. We missed no kid, and I also want to thank our police department because then they followed up the bus route that a kid would have walked out to and maybe thought that they missed a bus or the bus was late if they were waiting at their stop. The police department then went around the bus route to make sure every kid was in school. We got our attendance. We missed nobody. Everybody was contacted or in school that would have been on that bus whose route we had to cancel. And then Robin got it organized. And a lot of thanks go to our bus drivers and combining routes to make sure that we get every kid home in a timely manner. So just a normal day that starts at 5 a.m. sometimes in transportation. So if anybody out there says, hey, I wasn't doing anything this morning, I'll help you drive bus. Robin's back there in the teach outfit. Raise your hand. She'll train you and get you certified to go up there if you want to ever help doing that. But thank you. I just wanted to add that. We did have a trying day, and it worked out perfectly. I'm very proud of the work everybody did.
Thanks, Todd. Now we'll move into our treasurer's updates.
Thank you. Just a few comments tonight. We're working on the calendar year end, which means W-2s, 1099s, and a lot of government reporting. Our year-end audit for fiscal year 2021 is still in process. I think it's winding down. They're supposed to be on site next Wednesday. If you'll recall, when you brought me on board back in May, we had a out-of-balance condition in reconciling our cash. It was a significant number. Most of that I was able to get cleared up or figure out what was going on in the first 3-4 months. But the last several thousands of dollars has plagued and haunted me. In November, I was able to isolate what I would call was the fudge factor. And then I was able to go back and reconcile all of my cash reports from June forward to validate that that fudge factor was stable and wasn't moving. So I am happy to report to the board that I have found that number. It is 29,000 or 28,000. I put my glasses on so I could read here. $29,132.10. So I will be making an adjustment to our December books to compensate for that. From everything I can tell, it's not an issue of any integrity or falsification of records. I just think it was lack of good standard procedures, because that is an issue that has haunted us since prior to fiscal 2022. I will be making it as an entry that impacts prior years. I truly believe this is a overstatement of interest. And so that's where I'm at with that. But I wanted to bring closure to that for your benefit. On tonight's agenda, there is the what we call the tax budget. It is estimated revenue and expense. It is for fiscal year 2023. We're only halfway through fiscal year 2022. That was part of your board packet for tonight. And I will be asking for approval for that, as I need to submit that to the county auditor prior to the end of this month. Also, purchase of Chromebooks. That would be my update.
Okay. You have a motion to approve the treasurer's updates and agenda items.
Motion.
First by Hirschberger. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Golub. Any questions or discussions?
No, just thank you, Mr. Hammond, for getting that balanced out.
I had two other treasurers helping me with that, and we all agreed that it's probably time to turn in our license if we can't reconcile the goofy cash account.
But thank you for
for
sticking with it and getting it resolved.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, moving into our superintendent's agenda. Scott?
First on the agenda, I have the approving of food services director, Christine Shafrath. It is a recommendation for a 3-year contract starting August 1st, 2022 through July 31st, 2025, and that's per the administrative scale. I'm going to have two separate votes, and so if we can...
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
First by Fenn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Hirschberger. Any discussions?
Other than I'd like to thank Mrs. Shafrath for the dedication she's done to food service, get us out of the red. It's been a joy not to be needing to put money in there. Thank you.
Chrissy, everybody feels that way, so thank you.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yes.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Abstain.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Okay. Now we're going to drop our screen here. I'll give you the thumb. Don't hit me too hard. Keep going. Stop. That way it shouldn't be in Mr. DeAngelis' eyes. There we go. What everybody is seeing on the screen, hopefully. Oh, I see a green light now. All right, is the board has a packet up here. And so we'll be able to go through that. And I want to give an overview of what's transpired here in the past couple of years. And we had a slight disruption with a pandemic. But 2 years ago, we started down this plan, and we interviewed teachers, board members, administrators, community members weighed in, all staff classified and certified got the weigh in on this, and we had the impact group take all that information as to what they gathered to give us this, to create the strategic plan with us to help us move forward. So they pointed out areas, not only what we were doing well, but areas where we need to focus. So the plan being presented tonight was created from these surveys. We gathered six goals, which I'm going to go through briefly, I promise you. I'll be brief. And what you'll see up there is goal number one is communications and community integration. Goal number two is facilities, safety, and security. Goal number three is climate, culture, and wellness. Goal number four is finance. Goal number five is academic achievement. And goal number six is a business operations, human resources, part of our operation. As a school district, we're tied at the hip with the community. And with our community that makes Chippewa Local School successful, our community and us being tied at the hip makes us the place to be. We are a destination school, and we've gathered that through the number of open enrollments that we have, almost doubles the number of open enrollments that leave us. So we have people wanting to come to our district. So as Sean turns the page here, you'll see our mission is listed there. And because the new board's going to be approving it, I added them to it. But other people have worked on this, Lori Sizemore being one of those, and put a tremendous amount of time on here. So I left her in on the one that's approved, and then we'll move our new people in, Brad and Robin, as we go on. I want to keep everything in mind, keep everybody and remind everybody. We have outstanding kids walking the hallways at Chippewa Local Schools. Outstanding kids. We have a lot of accomplishments that happen throughout the year. And we need to keep our focus on the future. Not rest on what we've done in the past, but continue to move forward. When I went to school, I was given math problems. Here are the 10 problems. Fill out the problems. It's a word problem. I put it out and I put it in there. And I would fill in numbers to a formula that I was taught and I memorized. When you talk to employers today, they don't want that kid. They want thinkers and problem solvers. The math problem a kid gets today, this is the information that they get. How much should you charge to wash 1,000 windows? The kid has to determine material. The kid has to determine how long it takes. Everything that comes with that. They want the kid to think of these things and see how they analyze it to come to a conclusion. That's what businesses are hiring today. So education is going to change. And you see a lot of that when you go through there. This strategic plan will drive us and help teachers develop 21st century leaders. Our job as a board and administratively is to ensure that our teachers have the resources to accomplish that goal. So, Sean, as we turn to goal one, you will see, I believe it's Terry Archer. You'll see our needle mover for the month of January in 2022. They're reading with kids and engaging families and communities in ways. So what we found out in the surveys is we wanted People wanted to be involved in our school, and we needed to find ways to engage them. So goal one, we will continue to do that. As you turn the next page and you see the objectives, you can see up on the screen or on your packet, and it's page 5 I'm on now, that what we've done in the past 2 years to start achieving this goal, and it's a 3-year goal, but hours of relationships between the activities and the current schedule. Here we go. Final forms, school messenger, website. These are things that we are doing to communicate with stakeholders in our school. And you can see as you go through this, the time frames that we're trying to introduce each one of these things. And then we have success indicators. How do we know if we're meeting them? And so that's where we have ongoing surveys, and we have our Gantt chart of intercommunications. So as you go through this, you'll see that Gantt chart often. And that's an engagement chart. It's how many people think we're actually hitting and where we are in terms of accomplishing it. So if you move to goal 2 on page 6, you'll see that different people are assigned to different goals. They lead these goals and who's in charge of it. And they have different reasons as to why they're on there. They bring different levels of expertise to them. As you turn to page number 7, you can see one of the major objectives and one of the biggest pieces was this community interaction and communicating with the community. So things that we've done to encourage that, the Facebook page, the athletic council with our youth council. We meet with the athletic director. What do they need? How can they help us? What can we do to help them? So we work collaboratively with that. What's missing from there that we've added this year? Beth Aug represents the school district for the Communities Thrive. We have a board representative that we'll have to vote upon here sooner or later that represents us and attends council meetings for the Chippewa Township and the Doylestown Village. We want to get engaged with the community in those ways and have a representative there. And so these are people that I will be working with, and that's one of my assigned goals. As you go through this, and I turn to page 8, and I promise you, I'm going to have this posted on the website for anybody to have at any time they want. It is 30-some pages long, so it's not, don't get excited and hit print. And it is a color printed, but there are success indicators that we're looking for. How we started is in the notes. And these people will start putting these groups together as we move to our next steps. As we move on to number 5, and the last one that you can see is our alumni outreach. And that was a big feedback that we got, that we don't do enough to include our alumni. So alumnus, Jody Hughes and Rob Marshall, that became their area of expertise and things that we started to do and we're looking at. But looking at a Facebook alumni page, being able to obtain current information from these people, getting Google Forms, having them sign up when they come in. You know, alumni that are on the board should be active in this and recruiting their classmates to sign up on this page. This page should populate rather quickly. Yes, I'm moving everybody. Some of us are off the hook. If you go to goal 2, facility, safety, and security, you know, this falls underneath my area, but things that we started, building assessments. We did a building assessment in 2020. We did Hazel Harvey, we did CIS, we had a plan, we put it on pause. Now, we have Brad. Brad, where'd you go? Brad is now on as the maintenance and buildings and grounds guy. We will start rebacking to this plan. He's going to come back on his list, and we'll start back up on this plan where we picked up, update our quotes, go back through our building assessments, and we'll start it through again. Things have changed in the past 2 years. And so we'll start doing that, and we'll work collaboratively to bring that information back to the board with those pieces. If you move to the next page, page 12, we do have some information and Brad's going to have an update in February regarding electrical work at CIS. That's going to help solve the HVAC problem, we believe. But we'll present that in February as to what's going on there with that electrical piece. But we also have some other quotes coming in terms of upgrading electric at Hazel Harvey and what it would cost. looking at plumbing, what it would cost to upgrade that. So these things we're going to hope to have for you in February. It says October 21. We've had a few things happen in between, so that's going to be more of a February. So the plan is fluid in some areas. We want to stick to our time frames, and we have people in charge of those time frames. But sometimes we get derailed a little bit or get an obstacle in the way that pushes it back. As you move to number three, the physical security of our buildings, we applied for a grant at CIS. We applied for a security grant at Hazel Harvey. We applied for a security grant at the high school. So if we get these grants, we'll start improving our security and being able to fob in and out of doors at the high school, different doors. But you're going to have to fob in twice at CIS if we get the grant. So we look for ways to improve our security, and we're doing it through grants trying to be smart financially with this and being good stewards of our money. IRA doesn't always give us a free blank check. Goal number four. We started this one with our infrastructure. Sean, obviously, this becomes Chief's big thing here, but we're looking at revamping our website. If you've looked at the employment page, you've looked at some of the other things, we have done updates through this quite considerably, and we're trying to make it much better. Our Wi-Fi security has been good. Sean monitors that, but we're looking at our broadband use, especially because we are 1-to-1, grades 3-to-12. So we have new challenges. Well, Chief has new challenges that they will have to address there. Our climate and culture and wellness. As we move to page 16, our first goal there. One of the things that we did this year, we thought that 2022-2023 was going to be the year we started this. But we've already added Anazal. There is counseling services in all three buildings, 5 days a week. That is the first time this district has had that. 5 days a week, there's counseling services every day through Anazal or through our own counselors. And so that is it. We've continued to move, and we've used ESSER funds to do that, so it's not coming out of a general fund. And we continue to be creative with how we afford these things, and then we'll have to look at how we need to sustain those when those funds do run out. If we turn the page to page 17, positive behavior models, you can see there you're looking at three principals and Mr. Schrock being in charge of that. That is a building level with their PBIS teams. And you heard some of the things that Terry Archer has gotten done at Hazel Harvey. These positive reinforcements that education is fun, learning is fun, is happening in all of our buildings. And we're having game nights, reading under the lights, activities to encourage robotics team at the high school that encourage student learning and interacting with each other and their teachers. I'm just turning the page. You'll see the objectives for number three are the same pieces as we start to move forward. And number four, those are big goals that those principals have taken on, that they will work with their teachers in their buildings and developing these teams once this approves tonight. Developing their teams this spring, and then start really working forward. So we start up the 22-23 school year academically with a strategic plan in place and how we're going to improve ourselves and improve our culture and our buildings. Now, financially, there's a lot of hindrance on financially, and we kind of have, when I'll say this, you're going to see some blank pages. Let me explain blank pages. One, we have a PI levy that's going to have to go up in May. We have to renew an income tax. So our financial page is, are we cutting back programs? Are we minimizing staff because we didn't pass a levy? Or are we expanding our programs and moving forward? So some of these are financially driven as to where they are. And in between that, some of the programs don't fall under the ESSER money that we receive. And if you start it up, it's a lot tougher to maintain on somebody else's money at the startup. And so we need to be strategic. So financially, a lot of these dates are going to move until we know what goes on in May. But we'll start planning for this late February and March. And we'll start putting financial things to get there. So as you look through page 21, and we start moving through this page 22, until we get to the goal number three, we have some open dates because we need to shore these up. I mean, we're just not ready to put them on paper to say this is our start date. We have looked at different IOs. When you get to number three and we start to move in, we have moved forward to put the income tax levy, the renewal, on the ballot. We have, IRA's done the research, and we have the ready to get moving forward with the PI levy for permanent improvement in our buildings. For Hazel Harvey, the bus garage, the board office, and CIS, that PI levy would be pretty much would be the main focus with that piece. But those are things that we have started and started moving forward with. So the income one and the financial one is coming. It's just not, it's not ready to move forward here. Number five, the academic achievement. As I started this off, we have some outstanding, phenomenal kids doing unbelievable things, walking our hallways. And all you have to do is log on to Twitter to see all the things that are being put out by principals, get to our website. We try to advertise it and market that as best we can. But as you see that, and you can see some of the notes, the things that we've started to do, what's been intentional, but our principals are leading these groups within their buildings, and Katie's kind of representing there with each building. One of our goals, as we turn to page 27, is we are 1-to-1, grades 3 to 12. We are there. We're moving on to Hazel Harvey next, and we have a motion that was passed here that Mr. Hammond's going to purchase those things. We got another grant for those, so we've been able to fund majority of all of these purchases through grants and through ESSER funds, and not out of our general fund. So we are moving forward, and as we move through the goals and objectives, that I turn the page, Chief. I know I'm going quick. I promised I'd be fast. All right. One of the things that we're going to define is the portrait of a Chippewa learner and put this portrait together. This is going to be accomplished this year. We were looking at next year, but have it for each grade level, what a Chippewa learner looks like. The technology that they're capable of using, the pace that they learn at, and what they're doing, and the problem solving, the communication, to be able to collaborate, work with others, all that is we're going to put this together. And that's the goal, to finish out this school year with that portrait put together as to what a Chippewa learner looks like. So that is one of the big targets that's going to be on the principal's back with that piece. So one of the new things, it's a new law that's coming out, dyslexia. We're going to have to test for this in-house. Mr. Schrock already has a plan going forward with this as to how we're going to handle this. This is a big change for us. It'll be a financial impact to the district, tremendous financial impact to the district. And how we go about it and the policy we implement as to what we're going to do. This will be one of Katie's big things that she's going to present in the spring to the board and make a recommendation as to how we're going to move forward and what we're going to, how we're going to handle this coming down from the legislators. This is an unfunded mandate. We have to make it work, and it will be costly. We need to be trained. It takes time to do this, and there are not a lot of trainers out there for this. This is going to be a challenge to Mr. Schrock and her department, but we're working forward, and we've got a good head start on it. So I wanted you to see that in goal number four. Number six, our business operations and human resources. Looking at the objectives, the 21st century learner is a tech learner. We got thrown in to being virtual teachers. And our teachers went, okay, new tools, new scenarios, new situations, new learning, and jumped in. We are still learning. We're still getting good. We were not trained. We are learning by skin knees and by doing it the hard way from sometimes. But we are continuing to get through this. But this is the future of education. This is how education will take place. I don't want to speculate what changes are coming. But if we can prove that we can educate virtually, I see in the next 10 years some type of blended learning. And it's always been on a forefront, pushback, forefront, pushback, front burner, back burner, however you want to refer to it, that we'll look at school days maybe being less in hours, but more in days. and that would be a guess on my part, totally a guess on my part, less hours, more days. Because you're going to have more interaction, kids less hours, teachers' hours wouldn't change, kids less hours as you expand the days as to what's going. So I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we need to be ready. So one of the things that we're going to do is we're heading down to a future education technology. One, we're going to see what's out there. Two, we're going to teach a teacher how to be a technology coach and get them through that training. 4 days of that training is going to take place down there. And we'll have an administrative leader down there. So we can come back and we're going to develop a tech plan for future of education here at Chippewa with using the virtual learning tools that we have. So going through this, a lot of the tech plans are starting up in June of 2022. We anticipated this plan coming into action 22-23 just because we had no idea how fast we'd be able to get devices in kids' hands in that. With that, will require a lot of professional development as you turn the pages. So we need to be strategic in that, and that's why it's very important that our principal is going, Mrs. Ollinger. That will be her primary focus, will be how she's going to lay out the professional development for this district going forward regarding our technology plan. So if you turn all the way back to the last page, page 34, a lot of this is starting up in 2022. It is a very fluid plan. It is an overview. It is not details. The notes are not grammatically correct. They're notes as to what we have. I know Mrs. Fenn was going to pick on me for that, and I didn't write it. But this is the overview as how we're going to move forward. These are our goals, and we're going to continue to work on them and use these as the guiding measure as to why is it important for kids and how will they get better. Every decision we make will come back. Does it fit in the plan? And you better be able to answer why and or how. When we answer those questions, and the answer is yes to both of those things, we will move forward with it. If we don't, we won't move forward with it. It is what's best for kids, why it will make kids better, and how it will make them better. We're going to stay away from the what, when, and where's. We're going to be why and how's. So, as I said, the plan was an overview. You've had it change. We did a couple updates in here. You've had that. I'm going to ask for this plan to be approved, and if there's any discussion items after it, I'm able to get a motion. I'm happy to discuss these with you.
Okay. Thank you, Todd. Do I have a motion to approve the 3-year strategic plan?
So moved.
First by Fenn.
Second.
I have a second by Jed. Discussions, questions?
One quick question. Can a copy of this be put at the library?
Yes, we can ask. Mr. Hammond has a connection there.
Yes, he does.
But we can get copies at the library. I believe he was able to get copies at other strategic places in the village and township. Anywhere that we can set them out, we'll put copies there. But Chief is waiting for approval, and he'll have it posted online tonight, on the website tonight. So Chief will have it there once we get 3 votes, hopefully.
Okay. Any others?
All right, thank you.
I just wanted to say that I think this is very well done, and just thank everyone involved who helped put this together. This is a gift to a new board member. I'm sure this is a beautiful thing to get on your first official meeting. So I was very happy reading through this. I'm very happy to continue to help in whichever way the board can to help put this plan into action, because I think this is a great plan. And I just appreciate everyone involved.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, Ira.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yes.
Mr. Gold?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes. All right, moving into the superintendent's consent agenda. Can I get a motion for items A through I?
So moved.
First by Fenn.
Second.
I have a second by Jay. Questions or discussions?
Just like to welcome the new folks.
Yes, good point.
That is a good point.
And I want to thank Mary Ann Thompson for being a bus driver as we're moving to retirement. So we'd like to thank her for her years of service and dedication to Chippewa.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Linda. Okay, call roll.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yes.
Mr. Gold?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes. Moving into board discussion, we need to identify a representative for the Village of Doylestown Development Committee. Anybody interested?
I'd like to nominate Mr. Hershberger. I did chat with him, mm-hmm. and I believe this fits in his wheelhouse, and so I would like to ask him to serve.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to.
I will notify the mayor. He'll be a rep, and then I'll get your school email address on his distribution list and get you updated.
Okay, then we have 2022-2023 school calendar spring break dates.
Yeah, this one I brought up. Our dates and the Career Center dates, they don't line up. So if we got kids doing half a day in Chippewa and half a day at the Career Center, they don't get a spring break. They get half of a spring break, but that's it. And I'm just trying to figure out how it happened, or not even that so much, but what we can do to fix it, because I believe we have like 19 families that do half day somewhere in that ballpark.
Yep, 19 kids. Yep.
So that's 19 families that don't get a spring break because they always got a half a day somewhere during the breaks. And I believe every child or every student deserves a spring break. They need that time off just to recoup. Not only is it good mentally, it's good for the family, and for me, that's the key, is the family. But so I'm just curious if there's anything we can do, because I looked at all the other schools in the district or in the county. We are the only ones that do it in March. Nobody else does it in March, and that's this year and next year. Everybody else is in line with the Career Center. So I don't know if it's is there a testing issue? Is it a contractual issue? I don't know what the issue would be from keeping us following suit. And I'm just curious. I mean, like I said, I'm not looking to throw blame or mm-hmm. be, you know, brass. But I am looking for what we can do to fix it, if it can be fixed. So whoever can answer that, feel free.
If you're asking about the process starts with me. I create calendars for the school and send them out to both union groups that are out there. They get feedback on it and then present the calendar at a board meeting. The 22-23... We started working a year ahead because when I arrived, going to give you an understanding, the concern was people couldn't prepare because we were only working so much time in advance. And people couldn't prepare for a vacation because they didn't know. So I started moving it 2 years in advance, meaning we would approve the 22-23 calendar was approved February 8th of 2021. And so we started doing 2 years in advance so people could move forward. At that point in time, things that are considered when the calendar goes out, testing window that's there, the long break, you have that 1 day off in January, the 1 day off in February, and it's the gloomy days, there's the shortest amount of sunlight, so it creates two different breaks. Those were the discussions that went into that. Kids that play spring sports, as it gets moved on, you know, that came as part of the discussion. So a calendar, the testing window is interesting because the state creates it. At one point in time, it was really tight. The only rule is you've got to have 5 consecutive days followed by 5 consecutive days. So if the where Easter falls, sometimes that falls into play. So realistically, that's just how it kind of came together. The classified and teachers union both liked the fact that they could prepare ahead of time. I don't know when. The Career Center doesn't communicate with us about their vacations or their calendars. They just hand it out and said, here's when they were approved. I'm not sure when they're brought to the Career Center piece, but that's just the process of how we went through that is there's always an impact. So what's on this, so to say, on, you know, when the spring break is, just like there's an impact when winter break is, shopping days and those pieces. So, I mean, I understand your point. I mean, I looked at it. I was more concerned with the kids that didn't have a lunch and how that went than I was about the days. Because, you know, personally, I played baseball. My brother ran track. They never had a spring break ever. I never went on a spring break in my entire life because we had athletics. And that was a commitment that we chose to make. But it wasn't a family thing. It was truly my choice with those things. So all those somewhat come part of the equation. And I understand what you're saying. I mean, the kid doesn't take off. If I have a career tech kid and I have 2 classes at the high school and no classes at the career center, do I want to take my kid on vacation as a parent and they miss those 2 classes at the high school or vice versa? Do I want to take off and go, you know, on vacation during when our school is on spring break and I miss those classes at the career center? I don't have a perfect answer. I'm just trying to explain the scenario.
I don't think there's a perfect answer. I think he's just asking simply in that process, can you put that in there as part of the evaluation?
Yeah, I can definitely put those together and do that. In terms of the 22-23 calendar that you referred to, that one was board approved. So we'd go through the same thing to change that resolution. But I don't know if anybody's made plans knowing that those dates were already set, which was one of the initial requests that I received when we were discussing calendar my first year here. That was a major discussion as to we needed to be able to prepare more than a year ahead of time. So,
and that's why I brought it up a year and 3 months before the next one. Mm-hmm. Because I would almost be willing to say, can we send out a memo and asking who has already pre-booked a year and 3 months out. And if not, then let's make a resolution and change it. And then, I mean, because this is about the kids. And that's what we as a school board are here for, is about the kids. That strategic plan's all over it. And like I said, I don't want to make a whole bunch of waves, but is this the first year that kids have done half day here and half day there? Because
no,
we get half a day here, so we get half the monies, correct? So it actually benefits us to have them here half a day.
If they're here, yes.
And then I'm trying to figure out how every school is on the same page except for us. That's my concern. I don't understand that, and I don't know if I ever will.
Calendars are unique. We sit as superintendents and try to talk about having a common calendar. We have professional development days that other schools doesn't have. We came back from Christmas break with the 2 extra days after New Year's and started on a Wednesday, where other schools came back and started on Monday. Each one has their own starting date, ending date, where those come into play. Having it in March, and I'll say this, and I understand the kid piece because I'm in the kid business, but coming in March, those kids that are involved in athletics wouldn't miss any events if their family took them somewhere. If it's moved, they could miss events because over the spring break. So it's there's an impact on a group of kids somewhere. And I'm not saying which one's right, which one's wrong, and which curricular and extracurricular. I'm not making that argument at all. But I'm saying there's always going to be an impact when we have a spring break. Mm-hmm. Having it over Easter, that's I agree with you 100%. Majority of the schools do that. They have it over the Easter break. That is, it does not impact me. I would have to ask the staff, and I have no problem surveying them. Not only that, but also just ask that question specifically as I'm starting to work on the 23-24 calendar, so everybody's able to prepare out for these things. So I have no problem putting that survey together and getting that information.
Well, and that's my next question. In the future, what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to do that, or are we going to try to pair up?
My understanding, if I recall, Linda, you can probably remember this better than me, it was all around testing, the teachers preparing their students for testing. That's why I thought we...
Absolutely. That window was much tighter in previous years. Window has expanded. But you got to have 5 consecutive days followed by 5 consecutive days. With our spring break, we actually could, depending on how it falls, because now they give you a bigger window, an extra week of teaching prior to the test, where others are taking their test prior to us. They're not, because you could have those consecutive days. But I'd have to, I haven't looked at it. I mean, it has not been a conversation piece that's come up until you brought it up. This has been the first conversation. So I don't have any problem following up with that. We have a great relationship with both union people. I have no problem following up with them and seeing how they would like to survey their staff and see what their impact, what they believe is there. And okay. I can bring you back that information.
So then as a board, you guys are good with that? With no... Some kids, 19 families, not having a spring break. And I'm just asking, just so I know. So.
Well, I think it's just like Keith was saying, there's a number of factors we can... Right. I mean, we talk about testing that comes from the state. There's testing that comes for our CCP students. We had testing that we had to get done because we had to get midterms and finals in for a certain point, because then you're working with Kent State, Stark State, Akron. Go Zips, sorry. But you have to keep that in mind. I'm not... Those sometimes worked hand in hand with regular AP and some just regular course midterms, stuff like that. Sometimes it didn't. It just kind of depended on what the schedules were. I mean, my last spring break lasted 9 weeks, but that was because of the pandemic. But also in previous spring breaks, robotics would come in on some days and just work. So I think it's just like we were saying, it's a number of factors. If there is a perfect answer and we can find it, then that'd be great. But I'm just, this is the first time I've heard of it, too. I'm just trying to find those factors.
Right, but every other school does it that way. So that's the testing thing. I struggle to believe that. And I'm skeptical anyways. That's just me by nature. But, I mean, I would like to know what our goal is in the future as far as the spring breaks go. If we're good with that, then okay, I'll deal with it. But
I was good with what you recommended, including it in your evaluation process.
But that doesn't, are we next year going to, 3 years out, are we going to look at Easter then, or are we going to line up with the Career Center or not?
Well, he's going to come to the board with a recommendation, and we'll see why they made that decision. If it's aligned, fine. If it's not, then see the reasons. Have a discussion around that.
I will definitely have a conversation with Mrs. Garbinski, and I'll definitely have a conversation with Mr. Rowe, and then we'll collaborate here on how we would about sending out a very short survey as to what the staff likes. I mean, and seeing what comes back into play. I'll say the testing window has expanded. Previously, it was a lot smaller. You had 3 weeks to get it done. And so the testing window is now expanded. And I believe you're up to 5 or 6 weeks. I wish Jody was here. She's our testing coordinator. I think it's 5 or 6 weeks now. So at one point in time, that was a primary driver. And then we just kind of established a precedent that we would have a March. Now, if that needs to change, like I said, I don't have an issue with that. We're all in what's best for kids, but there's an impact. I didn't think about the College Credit Plus because the college follows their own schedule and how that impacts and how many kids we have in that, if that changes anything. So it came at the end of the third 9 weeks is how we planned it. And that if we thought it was a good break leading into the fourth 9 weeks, the start of testing. We went through 3 9 weeks. We take a break. The fourth 9 week start, we walk into testing. And until you said that, I didn't even think of CCP. I thought of AP, which is mostly May, in the testing. And that's why it's also on the calendar the longest 9 weeks, because it loses the most days to testing. If you had a kid in an AP test plus end-of-the-year exams, they may be taking 7 different tests throughout that. So they lose the most instructional days. But, no, I'll get you some feedback on that information. And thank you on that for the CCP. Didn't even think of that.
No problem. Yeah, that's a very stressful time. May. I've heard May's.
Yeah, but I'll get that. I'll get some information.
I just think we need to be cognitive of no matter when we do a break, somebody's going to be impacted.
Right.
And unfortunately, we have to do what we can do for, you know, that's best for all of the different schedules and deadlines we have to get. But I think once we realize, oh, the testing window has changed, then it's good to review how things are being put together.
Right. And that's why I said, however it is, I'm fine with.
Yeah.
But I want us to see where the greatest impact is. It's data.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
I was just going to ask Linda, I know you were working on quite a few things last year, one being the workshop that we were trying to put on. I saw Todd was reaching out for information on trying to get a date. Did everybody get that?
I have.
Did everybody get back to you is what I'm asking?
Yes, everyone got back to me. Okay. I've heard from OSBA. Are we on a different part of the agenda? I'm lost.
It's board discussion. Asking if you needed any
other space. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. What I would appreciate is if people would forward me their calendars, because it's become very difficult to try to get OSBA folks lined up with what you guys can do, and if you have a really great data that you can meet to do, let's say, a 4-hour, you know, workshop training, that would be helpful. Okay. It's become more difficult than when Terry and I thought. And then if when we think of other OSBA training, there's the wonderful conference in Columbus in November. People start thinking about those dates to keep, that it would be good to have the board go. So.
Thank you.
Yep. Yes.
All right. Now we'll move into public participation. I have nobody on the sign-in list, so we will jump into new business. Determine dates for board work sessions.
Mr. Hammond, I know you said you may need a meeting here soon.
Oh, man, put the weight on me.
I know, but you can handle it.
We may need one near the end of January. This being my first process through an election, I'm waiting. I've got feedback from the State Department of Taxation. I'm just waiting to get feedback from the county auditor so that we can move to the next process. But there's a process there where I will need a board approval to go to the Board of Elections, I believe. And I think that the 90 days out puts me real tight to the first part of February.
Mm-hmm. So are you thinking of needing us to meet the last Monday in January?
That's probably
24th
or the 31st is the very last Monday, if that's also. Not sure if we'd want to push it back to the very last day of January.
Oh, I think you're.
I'm good on 24th.
24th would be better for me as well.
24th is good for me, if that's what we're doing.
I'll have to check.
I'm fine for the 24th.
I got the 24th.
And if that's the only business we have for that, it should be very quick.
Okay. Ira, do we need a motion for this?
Well, let's. No. Do you want to put some other dates together?
Do you have some in mind? Typically,
I do.
Typically, you kind of assign them, and we're like, that works.
Are you referring for this particularly or in general for workshops?
Well, we'll have. Yes. General for workshop, but we will have to have another meeting regarding levy and probably a discussion, so we might as well have a work session the same night we plan that to be able to answer questions to our constituents. So, you know, having something the end of February or 1st of March, and we go February is on the 1st, so the first meeting is February 8th, and we would not go again until March 8th, which is 4 weeks, and so the 7th, I looked at the wrong day, I looked at Tuesday. So I'm looking at, if we have a meeting on the 14th, we want to come back and have something in March or in April. We usually always had something in May because we are approving end of the year items, and we always had a backup one in June for you to finish your end of the year stuff, and we have pieces in that way. So May and June are usually two big ones, but I'm assuming we'd want to have at least something in March prior to the election to be able to answer questions. So those are just guesses on my end. And then always need one at the end of July for the sole purpose. If somebody tries to steal our good people because they're going to pay them more money and we have to hire, we better have something in place. There in July, it's inevitable that it happens, that we have something come up on that point in time. It can always be canceled if the answer is no. But just speaking out loud, my recommendation as superintendent would be we have something in March, second one in May, just to handle any graduation, and then in June and July. Now, we've had one in October, because we moved the board meeting in November back a week because of OSBA, so it would be a full, sometimes 5 to 6 weeks as to why we wouldn't be there. So we've had one in October scheduled for that reason. The previous years, we canceled that one in October. We had no business. But we had it scheduled just to be on there just in case something come up prior to November, or, you know, because we had to wait 3 weeks into November.
I think with a change in the five-year forecast submission, that's due November 30th. So I'm thinking either a late November meeting or you have one right at the end.
Okay. So if I heard you correctly, I'm looking at March, May, June, July, and November, that I can have those ready. In January 24th, I can have those on the agenda for January 24th to be approved as board work sessions, those dates, and I will do the last Monday of the month.
It's probably going to hit me on some of them, but we can check it out.
And we can...
Can you just, you know, email us some tentative dates you have in
yep.
mind?
I can email tentative dates, and that way if we do have conflicts, if we have to adjust a day or a time, we can do that. All right, I'll put that together.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Because I can be very flexible, so I'm good.
Yeah, my classes always end early on Monday, so I'm usually clean on Monday evenings.
We don't miss classes.
Of course. Actually, I got a funny story about that after this.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. Mr. Hammond and I will put those together and send out some tentative dates. Just respond to us individually if we need to adjust or move at that point in time, whether it be a time or a day, and then I'll have those ready for the 24th agenda to be approved.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I have
No executive session, so we'll move to adjourn. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
First by Fenn.
Second.
Second by Jay. Assuming no questions or discussions.
I think I'm good.
On. Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yes.
Mr. Gold?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
I certainly appreciate the new setup.